like to start with a question this morning. Are you finding En-Gedi? The environment surrounding the Dead Sea is extremely harsh. You see, the Judean desert lies east of Jerusalem, and it descends down to the Dead Sea. And so this part of the Judean wilderness that lies between the Dead Sea and the West Bank is very dry, especially during the summer. It is very hot, and the climate in that area is some of the most extreme on Earth. You see, it's extremely dry because of its position near the desert belt, and it's in the rain shadow of the Judean Mountains. The Judean Mountains are to the west. The rain comes in off the Mediterranean, drops off in the mountains, and so most of the year clouds are non-existent in that area. And the small amount of rain that makes it across the Judean Hill Country doesn't do much good, because of the desert that's there. The top rock layers don't absorb very much water, and the surface runoff, so the water runs off the surface very rapidly, rushes down the steep slopes into the Dead Sea. And it's the how desolate it is hard to believe it unless you actually see it. Now, in this harsh environment, though, there is an incredible contrast. There is an oasis that consists of water pools, of vegetation, shrubs, trees. It's so beautiful that when Solomon, in writing his love song, described part of this when he said, "My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyards of En-Gedi." So we have these two sharply contrasting areas. Now, I have long been fascinated by the stories of David and his interactions with Saul. But this recent time in Israel just really brought this more alive to me than ever. You see, the wilderness area that I referenced here earlier is part of the area that David spent hiding from Saul. In 1 Samuel 23, which I'll read part of, verse 14 in 1 Samuel 23, it says, "And David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him into his hand." But then David has a disappointment. And the disappointment is that he is betrayed by his countrymen. They were of the same tribe as he. This is an area that was inhabited by the tribe of Judah, I believe. And they conspired with Saul. And I'm thinking about, as we make this practical, the kind of disappointment that can come when those that are over us, or those in our family, or whoever it might be, disappoint us. So reading further in 1 Samuel 23, verse 19, "Then the Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, 'Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds of Horesh on the hill of Hakalah, which is south of Jeshimon? Come down, O king, according to all your heart's desire to come down, and our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand.' And Saul said, 'May you be blessed by the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. Go, make yet more sure, know and see the place where his foot is, and who has seen him there, for it is told me that he is very cunning. See therefore and take note of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with sure information. Then I will go with you, and if he is in the land, I will search him out among all the thousands of Judah." So you see here, Saul was going to make sure that they knew where David was before they go into this area that has so much that carries so much danger with it. Verse 24, it says, "And they rose and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon and the Arabah to the south of Jeshimon. And Saul and his men went to seek him, and David was told. So he went down to the rock and lived in the wilderness of Maon. And when David heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness." And then as the story goes here, just at the time when it seemed like Saul was going to close in and capture David, a messenger comes to Saul and says, "Say, hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land." And so God miraculously provides for David by this threat from the enemy. And so Saul leaves and goes after the Philistines. And then the last verse in Psalm 1 Samuel 23 says, "And David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi." And it's in En-Gedi then that we have Psalm 54 that he writes. And I'd like for you to think about, as we read Psalm 54, I won't take a lot of time with this, but as we read this, think about what David wrote and the comfort and encouragement that he found in God in the face of having suffered disappointment by his fellow man. So this is a Maskil of David when the Ziphites went and told Saul, reading ESV, "Is not David hiding among us? O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With the free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked on triumph on my enemies." So as we were saying here, David had been betrayed by his countrymen. He cries out to God. He tells God about his enemies. But he places trust in God as his helper. And he knows that God is the one who will provide justice to his enemies. And so he continues to offer sacrifice to God and to praise his name. He is going to rest in God's deliverance. Then it says that David went up from there and he lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Now, those who have spent time in the wilderness know what En-Gedi means. En-Gedi, with its little vineyards, its lush fields, the wonderful cool spring of water that is right adjacent to them, what we call the mocking saltiness of the sea. It was a very suitable place for hiding in the wilderness. The terrain is very rough. There is, I believe, 600 or 700 feet drop from the top of this area down to the Dead Sea. And so there is running water there. It's shrubs and trees for cover. And then we have another psalm that we believe took place in En-Gedi. That's Psalm 57. It's to the choir master, according to "Do Not Destroy a Victim of David When He Fled from Saul in the Cave." "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down among fiery beasts, the children of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. You see, God, David's needs for water, for cover, for shade have been supplied by this oasis in this harsh wilderness. And yet, there is more to this story. You see, at the lower level, there are beautiful shrubs and trees. There's small pools of water that you can dip your toes into. But if you go higher in this rocky terrain, you will find caves to hide in, and you will find deeper pools of water. You see, the name Ein Gedi is composed of two Hebrew words. Ein means spring, and Gedi means goat kid. So Ein Gedi means kid spring or fountain of the kid. And what it means is basically this is a rough area that is suitable for goats to be crawling around on. And some of it truly is goat country. It's very rough, very hilly. The waterfall starts at 656 feet above the level of the Dead Sea. And if you hike up trails that take just a bit of work, for about 30 minutes, you come up to just simply a gorgeous waterfall. It's an amazing amount of water that's dropping down 50 or 75 feet. I'm not sure exactly how far it is. But it takes a little bit of work to get there. And it makes so much difference on whether you want to dip your toes in the water at the bottom, or whether you want to go to the work to getting up to where it's really beautiful. So as we seek to make personal applications, we may be walking in the dryness of the wilderness. We may be searching, we may be seeking, we may be thirsting. Have you felt betrayed by a friend or a leader? Have you cried out to God in disappointment? Have you told God about it? Are you placing your trust in Him to deliver you? Are you trusting Jesus to provide justice? David says that he will continue to freely offer sacrifices to God and praise His name. He's going to rest in God's deliverance for him. Have you found the refreshing pools, the streams, the waterfalls of Ein Gedi? So today we've come seeking the Lord. We lift our dry, barren souls to Him who alone can refresh us. Are you looking for Ein Gedi? Are you going to dip your toes just in the low-level pool? Or are you going to climb up higher where there is water in great abundance? Jesus said to the woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And I believe that with David, we do well to say, "My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and I will make melody. For his steadfast love is great to the heavens. His faithfulness goes beyond the clouds." So may God be exalted. May his glory be over all the earth. Are you looking for Ein Gedi? Shall we bow for prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, you know all that we are or am or have. You know those times of dryness that we have felt, those times when we may have felt betrayed or disappointed by those either close to us or over us or under us, we or around us, we could say. You understand those things, and yet you want us to find in you a place of refuge. We want to go deeper. We want to go higher with you. We want to find in you the beauty that you have for us as we hunger and as we thirst after righteousness and the things that you have for us. So we ask, Lord Jesus, your blessing on this service, on the Sunday school hour just now, on each part of this service. We want you to be praised and honored, and pray that we would position ourselves so that you can meet our deepest and greatest thirsts and longings through Jesus. Amen.